I've asked Jeff to remember some music which he practiced earlier. All during the last couple of weeks, we'll do this at the end of the service most likely. For the last couple of weeks, I just can't get my mind off the blood. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is a bloody gospel. John chapter 8, verse 36, reading from the NIV, first of all, says, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Hallelujah. Anybody besides me like to have a little bit of freedom? God, come on, let me try that again. Does anybody besides me like to have a little bit of freedom? Hallelujah. Brother Pear, I just say hi to him. I haven't seen him in a long time. We got together, had dinner after many, many years. My friend's parent, and he's from Sweden. And you got to be careful when you have friends for a long time. He reminded me of some of the things over the dinner table I used to say. Amen. Y'all got to be careful what you say, because there are people with better memories than you that will bring it back on you. But one of the things he said, which I can repeat, he says, you used to always say, I want to enjoy my religion. Amen. I still feel the same way. 32 years later, I still want to have some fun when I come to church. Can someone say amen? I want to be free, not just a little bit, not just once in a while. I want to be free all the time. Can someone say all the time? Hallelujah. Our title, obviously, is What Can Wash Away My Sins? Oh, I'm telling you, I'm going to be talking about some blood today. So if you've got a problem with blood, hang on to your seat. Do not leave. I'm going to preach you through it. Amen? Jesus does what? Help me out. Sets us free. Can someone say amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, whatever you're into, come on, help me out. Whatever you're into, Jesus can set you free. I want you to think about that for just a moment now. Now, whoever said that to you, you turn to them and tell them, whatever you're into, Jesus can set you free. Go ahead. Try it. A couple of you tried. Hallelujah. I can see I'm going to have to shout a little bit to keep everyone awake. The Amplified version of what we just read out of the book of John says, so if the Son liberates you, makes you free men, you are really and unquestionably free. Hallelujah to God. See, we look at freedom sometimes and say, yeah, well, I'm free, but. Well, whatever the but is today, we're going to kick it and try to get it out of here. I want you to be free today, and there's somebody besides me who would want you free even more. His name is Jesus. He is the King of Kings, and He is the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Jesus sets us free. Sometimes, you know, we've been talking in the Old Testament a lot. Hallelujah. I went the wrong button there. Got a problem. I got too many buttons on this thing. Hallelujah. Sometimes you talk to people, they would actually say, you know, you're wasting a lot of time studying the Old Testament. You know, we've been talking about the Old Testament for a long time here, the last couple of months, actually. But, you know, some people actually believe it's just a bunch of stories and laws and genealogies that really don't apply today. I mean, after all, the New Testament is where it's happening. Many people within the church actually think this way. But there's a problem. There's a problem with that thinking. Several. But one I want to bring up, that kind of mentality causes Christians to miss out on the richer understanding of God. Now you say, well, that's not important. Let me just talk about that for a second. I don't know about y'all, but after 32 years, I still don't know enough about God. Now I'm not talking about head knowledge. You can go to school and get more degrees. You come out looking like a thermometer. You got so many degrees. But if you don't know God, if you're not in relationship with God, if you don't know how He is, what He does, and when He's going to do it, then you need to have a richer understanding of God. One of the reasons that Christians don't trust God is because they don't know God. I told you last week that 26% of people who pray actually believes God's going to answer. I don't understand that number. If you're praying and you don't believe He's answering, why are you bothering? But see, sometimes I think, Brother Dave, we don't believe God will answer in certain situations. I can tell you how He's going to answer in a situation by reading the Word of God. One of the reasons we have the Word of God, one of the reasons we have the Bible, is so we'll know exactly what to expect from God. See, you got a couple of you shaking your heads. You can open your mouth and say amen at the same time. It's okay. It's okay. Some people I know are doing two things at once. It's called multitasking. You can do it. Now, there is one possibility that you already know all there is to know about God, okay? I rather doubt that, but the Old Testament reveals God's plan and the whole purpose for the New Testament. See, we look at the blood sacrifice of Jesus, and we don't, why would God want that? You got to go back to Genesis and read through to Malachi and find out what the blood was all about. When you read what we're going to read later in the book of Exodus, you will understand the blood sacrifice and the need of the blood of the Lamb to be applied to your life. Can someone say amen? And if you don't understand, you say, oh my. What? Without understanding the events that led up to the birth, death of Jesus, I don't think we can fully appreciate, I said fully appreciate, the way he fulfilled God's plan and the scope of the freedom that he bought for us. Oh, hallelujah. I think sometimes, God, I'm glad God don't think the way I think. You can say amen to that. But I think sometimes, brother, we need to be taken back and reminded where we come from. You see, one of the dangers of being saved a while, I made 32 this year in the Lord. Slightly older than that outside the Lord, but in 32 years of hard study and seeking and knocking and praying and fasting, I still don't know all there is to know about God. He still has the ability to surprise me, and he does it quite often. Amen. Hallelujah. God, I said last week, has got all the resources, all the power, everything needed to fulfill his plan for your life. Can someone say amen? I apologize for last week's sermon. There was just something going on here in the spirit last week. I just couldn't think straight. So I might have to preach a little bit of last week this week. Is that all right? Well, at least one said okay. I'm wondering sometimes when I think about freedom, I wonder if it's possible. Probably not. But if it's at all possible, we can take our freedom for granted. Is there anybody out there? I see a lot of heads rocking around. Now, I'm not talking to you. I'm not talking the political sense, though that's also another sermon for another day. I'm talking about our freedom in Christ. Is it possible to be free so long you no longer realize what freedom is? We just take it for granted. Woe be unto us if God should decide to snatch it away for even a moment or two. Imagine if you dare, or if you can, that glorious freedom that Jesus gave you being taken away for a 24-hour period. That's long enough. Don't think anymore. It's a horrendous thought. To go back to the bondage, to go back to the things of the world and the pressures and the game playing and all the head games and all the stuff we had to do just to get from morning to night. Hallelujah. All the pills we had to swallow, things we used to smoke, things we used to drink. Of course, y'all never did that. But all the measures we had to take to get from point A to point B. If God took his freedom away, where would we be? You know, there's a bumper sticker that's been made popular by the war situation when it says that freedom isn't free. I think we need to understand something today before we go any further. Freedom is not free. The freedom you enjoy from sin costs somebody something. The freedom you enjoy from the freedom from bondages costs somebody something. Just because you didn't pay that price doesn't mean it was free. How many here enjoy the freedom we have in our country? There are people throughout the world fighting and holding down places and standing guard that we can be free. I, for one, am grateful for that. Hallelujah. Jesus keeps us free in the spiritual sense. Can someone say amen? The Passover story, which we're going to read in a couple moments, shows how God freed his people from slavery. Now, this is a historical thing with historical implications. Excuse me, spiritual implication. Historical, spiritual at the same time. This actually happened. There was an Israelite people. They were in the land of Egypt. They were slaves for 400 years. If you have any interest in archaeology whatsoever, I think this is interesting. That when they did the archaeological digs, they got to a certain point in the buildings of Egypt, and they found that the bricks had less straw in them than the earlier bricks. Now, I wonder if that has anything to do with the fact that at one point, Pharaoh said, let them go get their own straw. And they couldn't get as much. See, people look at that stuff and say, oh, that's just happenstance. No. This book is not a history book, but it is historically accurate. Can someone say amen? This story of the Passover is loaded with implications of how God would later free all of mankind from the slavery of sin through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Can anyone here, please don't raise your hand. A nod of the head or just a stare will be fine. Anybody here realize that you were once a sinner? Do you understand that you were bound by sin? Do you understand that you did what sin wanted you to do, but Jesus came along and set you free so you don't have to do that no more? Now, you may choose to do it. I'll leave it at that. I've been listening to T.D. Jakes preach. I'm going to have some of those silences let you fill in the blanks. That's his style. Hallelujah. The Israelites experienced release from the yoke of the Egyptians. Can someone say amen? God came along, showed his power, flexed his muscles, showed Egypt who he was, and the yoke of the Egyptians were broke. But here comes something more important, I think, or just as important, more important to me. Jesus Christ, on a hill called Calvary, flexed his spiritual muscles, and the yoke of Satan was broken off for all of mankind. I may never have built a building in Egypt, but I was working for the devil most of my life. Can anyone say amen? Hallelujah. See, we don't like to talk like that. We've so cleaned up the gospel, we don't even recognize it anymore. We don't talk about the devil. We don't talk about hell. God forbid we should talk about the blood. I'm going to anyway. Hallelujah. The enemy, if you haven't figured this out yet, just let me make one quick statement here. As much as God loves you, the devil hates you. As much as God and Jesus are your friend, the devil is your enemy. He is not someone with horns and a tail and a pitchfork, but he's just as real as the chair you're sitting on. He will not support you as good as that chair. The devil wants as much bad in your life as God wants good. Come on, people. Hallelujah. We either blame the devil for everything or pretend he doesn't exist. But the enemy, because of the blood, someone say blood. You're going to have to get used to saying this word. I'm bringing the blood back to the church. To this church anyway. The enemy can no longer torture and control us through our bad habits, destructive paths, or worldly attitudes. Because of the what? Help me out. The blood. Jesus set us free from eternal death and brought us eternal life. Glory unto God. Can someone say amen? Can someone say, you understand that Jesus paid the price? See, y'all ain't used to hearing this maybe at Easter time. We need to get the blood back into the church. Bring the blood back into the gospel. Can someone say amen? There is no greater reason to celebrate our deliverance. Hallelujah. There's no greater reason but to realize that the blood has been shed for every single one of us. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to turn with me today quickly to the book of Exodus. It's going to take a little time to read this, but I don't want to skip it. Book of Exodus, chapter 11. I'm going to read a couple of chapters of Scripture. We are. I know this is going to take time, but we got an early start. That gives me a little more time to preach. Hallelujah. This week's Scripture story comes from Exodus, chapters 11 and 12. It's the story of the final plague. We were talking about the plagues of Egypt last week and all that led up to them. And it also tells us about the saving power of the what? The blood. Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, it's important to understand the Old Testament so you can better understand the New Testament. I really do understand why people look at the cross and say, but why did it have to be so bloody? Why did it have to be? If you don't know the history, if you don't understand it, it really doesn't make a lot of sense. It doesn't make sense to take this poor carpenter just trying to preach and nail him on a cross and bleed him to death. It makes no sense at all until you understand the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 11, verse 1, reading down, says, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will strike Pharaoh and the land of Egypt with one more blow. Anybody here a boxing fan? Anybody could catch any of Rocky yesterday? Well, not the real. But I see this in real boxing as well as in movies. The guy who played Apollo Creed, he's dancing and he's got that right hand. It's cocked. All he needs is one shot. I see a lot of boxers like that. And when I read this scripture, forgive me you non-sports fans, but I see God walking around with his hand held back. It's okay, I got one more. I've been jabbing. I got 9 jabs in, but here comes the knockout punch. So I got one more blow. After that, Pharaoh will let you leave this country. This is not a political debate. This is not a religious debate. This is thus saith God. He said, I've been playing with Pharaoh for these last 9 plagues. Now I'm going for the knockout. After that, Pharaoh will let you leave this country. In fact, he will be so eager to get rid of you, he'll force you to leave. This is the guy that had them bound. Whatever's got you bound, when God gets on its case, it wants to get rid of you. Hallelujah. If you're bound by alcohol, if you're bound by nicotine, if you're bound by drugs, when God gets a hold of it and gives it one good shot, he wants to get rid of you. The devil don't want you hanging around no more. Hallelujah. Tell all the Israelite men and women to ask their Egyptian neighbors for articles of silver and gold. Now the Lord had caused the Egyptians to look favorably on the people of Israel. And Moses was considered a very great man in the land of Egypt, respected by Pharaoh's officials and the Egyptian people. Moses had announced to Pharaoh, this is what the Lord says. At midnight tonight, I will pass through the heart of Egypt. All the firstborn sons will die in every family in Egypt, from the oldest son of Pharaoh who sits on his throne to the oldest son of his lowliest servant girl who grinds the flour. Even the firstborn of the livestock will die. Then a loud wail will rise throughout the land of Egypt, a wail like no one has heard before and will ever hear again. But among the Israelites, it will be so peaceful, not even a dog will bark. Whoo, hallelujah. Then you will know that the Lord makes a distinction between the Egyptians and the Israelites. I want you to understand, this is not my sermon, you are different. You're not the same as the world. Whatever falls on the world, you are different. All the officials of Egypt will run to me and fall to the ground before me. Please leave, they will beg. Hurry and take all of your followers with you. Only then will I go. Then, burning with anger, Moses left Pharaoh. Now the Lord had told Moses earlier, Pharaoh will not listen to you. But when I do even more mighty miracles in the land of Egypt, Moses and Aaron performed these miracles in Pharaoh's presence. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he wouldn't let the Israelites leave the country. Why did he harden their hearts? Remember from last week? He was in the process of proving to the world who he was. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 12 says, while the Israelites were still in the land of Egypt, the Lord gave the following instructions to Moses and Aaron. From now on, see something new going on now. From now on, this month will be the first month of the year for you. Announce to the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each family must choose a lamb or a young goat for a sacrifice. One animal for each household. I don't want to make a big deal of this, but I got to say this. Every house needs its own lamb. The lamb of your neighbor is not going to bring peace to your house. See, when we get to Jesus, you'll find out what I'm talking about. Everyone's got to have their own lamb. Hallelujah. If a family's too small to eat a whole animal, let them share with another family in the neighborhood. Divide the animal accordingly to the size of each family and how much they can eat. The animal you select must be 1-year-old male, either a sheep or a goat, with no defects. Take special care of this chosen animal until the evening of the 14th day of the month, of the first month. Then the whole assembly of the community of Israel must slaughter their lamb or young goat at twilight. Now listen to this. This is a precursor to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. They are to take some of the blood and smear it on the sides and the top of the door frames of the houses where they eat the animal. That same night, they must roast. I want you to think about the blood. The blood had to be around the doorpost. Not just on one side. Not just on both sides and not the top. But all three had to be covered by the blood. Do not eat any of the meat raw or boiled in water. The whole animal, including the head, legs, and internal organs, must be roasted over a fire. Do not leave any of it. It didn't say eat the organs. It just said cook it. Do not leave any of it until the next morning. Burn whatever is not eaten before morning. These are your instructions for eating the meal. Be fully dressed. Now, I'm not going to preach about this, but I want you to understand that this was a whole ritual. It all had meaning. This is the Passover. Be fully dressed. Wear your sandals and carry your walking stick in your hand. Eat the meal with urgency, for this is the Lord's Passover. On that night, here's where the word Passover comes from. On that night, I will pass through the land of Egypt and strike down every firstborn son and firstborn male animal in the land of Egypt. I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt. Hello. For I am the Lord. But the blood on your doorpost will serve as a sign marking the houses where you are staying. There's a song that says this, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Hallelujah. This plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. This is a day to remember each year from generation to generation. You must celebrate it as a special festival to the Lord. This is a law for all time. Now, I'm going to skip through this because the rest of it just has to do with the bread they were supposed to eat. I want to get past. There we go. The point I want to talk about here today is the blood. Turn and tell your neighbor we're going to talk about blood. Come on. Just turn and tell somebody. I need a moment to take my jacket off. Turn and tell somebody else. That's where you need to say amen or something. Glory unto God. I want to talk about blood for a few moments here today. Don't take the kids out of the room. Don't turn the channel, so to speak. If you're listening on the internet, hang on to your laptop and just listen. Quite a few years ago, I was working in retail, and a customer came into the store where I was working, and they wanted a particular item that was up on a shelf, and I went up to get it, and in retrieving the article, I managed to cut myself. It wasn't a bad cut. It was just one of those things that kind of oozes, just one of those annoyance things. But by the time I got from the storeroom to the counter, I had managed to drip a great big old gob of blood about the size of a quarter on top of this package. And the customer kind of looked. I turned my back looking for something to wipe, and I hear him go, "Oh, please, somebody wipe off that blood." He was quite repulsed. Of course, I took it personal because I ain't got no disease. But he didn't know that. I can understand why that man didn't want to touch someone's blood. I can understand people are concerned about blood today. There's diseases, there's all kinds of things. I can really understand why people go out of their way not to touch blood. But one thing I can't understand is why we try to take the blood out of the church. I can understand that man wanting that package clean. I can understand why hospitals go to such length not to make sure the blood don't touch nothing. I can understand all of that. But I can't for the life of me understand why the church is trying to do the same thing to the gospel. We're trying to wash it down. We're trying to water it down. We don't want no blood on our cross. We don't want no blood. We treat Calvary like it's a toxic waste dump. We got to clean it up. No, Calvary don't need to be cleaned up. We need the blood. Hallelujah. See, the reading of the Old Testament will teach you something about the blood. In the book of Genesis, all the way in the beginning, y'all know about this thing with Adam and Eve, and they took the apple and all the stuff they weren't supposed to do. And if you've been around here, you've heard me preach how they tried to cover up their own sins with fig leaves. But what you'll find out, that the fig leaf didn't work. In order to be forgiven of the sin, there had to be blood. You say, well, where'd you get that idea from? Because it says that God gave them animal skins in order to cover their nakedness. And if you still ain't getting it, let me paint a picture for you. You cannot take the skin off an animal without shedding some blood. An animal gave its life. Blood was shed so Adam and Eve could have their sins covered. Can someone say amen? Do you understand when Cain and Abel brought their sacrifices to God, Cain's was rejected. Why? Because there was no blood. God will not take a sacrifice without blood. The Bible says when God had enough of the sins of the people, he sent a great flood. And do you understand that when they got out of that boat, those eight people, the first thing they did was give sacrifice? They brought enough animals with them that they could shed some blood. When David built the tabernacle in the wilderness, it got bloody. When Solomon built the great temple, there was blood. And when Jesus Christ went to Calvary, there was blood running down his back, running down his face, running down his arms, running down his cross, and filled the entire hill of Calvary with blood. The New Testament says, without blood, there is no remission of sins. Someone needs to say amen. And we try our darndest to get the blood out of the gospel. We shine up our crosses so they sparkle. We shine up our sermons so there's nothing bad. We don't want to give the kids nightmare. I see more blood on CSI on television than we see in the churches. Come on, people. I'm not saying you shouldn't watch that stuff, but I'm saying if it's okay on the tube, it's okay in the pulpit. And if it's okay in the pulpit, you need to apply the blood in your own lives. It's time that the church started pleading the blood over their children, over their families, over their finances. Come on, people. Hallelujah. Gotta have some blood. People look at their children and say, I've lost three of my children to drugs and the fourth one's on the way. Plead the blood over those children. Oh, but diabetes runs in my family. Plead the blood over it. My family's all got cancer. Plead the blood. Just because your family's all got heart disease don't mean you're going to die young. Plead the blood. Hallelujah. There's one thing that really disturbs the devil, and that's the blood of the Lamb. Do you understand when destruction came to Egypt? Please listen to this. Please think about this. Draw a picture in your brain. When the destroyer came through Egypt, it went through all of Egypt, Brother Dave, including the land of Goshen. But when he seen the blood, he passed over. Hallelujah. There's a lot of drug addiction going on in our county. But when drug addiction comes to the blood, Brother Pear, you've got to pass over that family. Hallelujah. There's a lot of abuses going on in our area. But when that spirit of abuse comes to your house, you've got to cover with the blood. You got the blood of the Lamb spread on your lintels and upon your doorposts. That spirit's got to say, can't go there. As it was in the book of Exodus, so it is in Honesdale today. When that thing sees the blood, it's got to pass over. Hallelujah. Y'all need to think about what I'm saying. You got situations in your life. I haven't got to teach it. I just feel like preaching right now. You got situations in your life that need some blood. You have yelled at the devil. Guess what? The devil don't care if you yell. The devil, you can yell all day long. He'll make you yell until you begin to curse at him. And he'll go, I finally tricked him. The devil's not afraid of you. But he can't just handle the blood. Hallelujah. Many, many, many years ago, when I first became a Christian, I worked in an institution along with my buddy Dan. Some of y'all know Dan. If you know Dan, tell him to get on the internet and listen to this message. I'm going to talk about him for a moment. Hallelujah. I got a phone call one day at my station from Brother Dan. He was at the infirmary, and he had this young fellow with him. He says, George, you got to get over. You got to see this. And I come over here with this young guy, and this guy was, man, I tell you what. He was talking forwards and backwards and rolling his eyes. He was doing all kinds of things. And I ain't never quite seen nothing like that before. I was a young Christian. I was half scared, but I was too stupid to be scared enough. I was just too young. And I don't know what, and I had the gift of stupid back then, I'll tell you right now. I had a well-developed gift of stupid. God anointed that gift of stupid. And I remember looking at this guy, I won't say his name in case maybe he got set free. But I called him by his name, and he wouldn't listen to me. Finally, I shouted at him. I called him as loud as I could. Look at me! And he turned around at me, and when he did, he threw himself against the wall. I said, whoa. But the next thing he said, oh, I remember it well. He says, get out of here, you blood of Christ. The man didn't see me. The man didn't see my friend Dan. All he seen was the blood. You see, when that thing passes by your way, it don't see you. It don't see your family. It don't see your problems. It sees the blood of the Lamb and it's got to back off because the devil's afraid of the blood. Can someone say amen? That's a good place for a hand clap right there. I'm telling you right now. Hallelujah. Okay, shift gears to teaching now. Last week's message, we looked at the plagues that God inflicted upon the Egyptians. Make no doubt about it, these were not naturally occurring. These did not come as happenstance. They happened because God said. When the Nile ran red with blood, it was not because the water was polluted, it was because God turned it to blood. And when the frogs jumped out of the water, it was because they didn't like the blood, it was because God stood on the banks and called out to them. You know God can speak, frog. You know how I know that? All God had to say is, come out of the water, and they did. And God can speak fly, because a couple days later, he said, come on, flies. Hallelujah. These were not naturally occurring phenomena. This was God. God was getting ready. He was warming up. He had that one hand cocked I told you about before. God had one good shot. He's going to soften him up a little bit with some jabs. Hallelujah. The plague we're going to look at today was the final. It needs something closer look because there was something different than the first plagues. One of the first things we notice, I'm ahead of myself here. One of the first things we notice is that the last plague is the only one, note the difference, it's the only one in which God required his people to respond in a particular way to be safe from the plague. See, up to now, God was just a-doing and it was happening. Now, one thing I don't know, I don't know how much the Israelites suffered from the first plagues. It really doesn't say. I mean, I'm assuming that when the water turned red with blood, all the water did. And I'm assuming if you were a Jew, you had to deal with the frogs and flies just the same as the Israelites did. Now, we do know, the scripture says that when the fire and hail fell, that did not fall in Goshen. We know when the darkness came, that did not come in Goshen. But we don't know about the first plagues. What we do know is that they were watching. God had everyone's attention. Does that make sense? Not only was it the Israelites, but God had, the Jews, but God had the Israelites' attention as well. Okay? Now, we do know, like I said, that God spared them some things. But at this point, the protection of God provided for the Israelites didn't require any faith or any action. They were just there. You know, sometimes God will do that. Sometimes God will just do things for us, and God will, we don't even have to ask him. We don't have to do anything. It just happens. You just walk around, and God just takes care. I think sometimes, but for me anyway, I'm just dumb. And God knows I'm dumb. I got to help him here. No, I got to help him here. Don't go there, George. And I'm not even aware he's doing it. See, y'all can laugh at me if you want. That's okay, because I watch your lives too. Hallelujah. Glory unto God. It didn't require any action, but I want you to understand something today. Little grammar lesson here. Faith is not necessarily a noun. Faith's a verb. It's got to be used. It's an action word. Hallelujah. They had seen, the Jews had seen the devastation of the Egyptians compared to their own safety towards the end. And what they were looking at was God's power. Now, with all of that said, it was time for them to exhibit some faith. The act of faith required by the Israelites was the sacrifice of an innocent lamb whose blood was to be displayed on the doorposts. Now, I got to say something here. This makes no sense at all. I got the book, and I get it. But put yourself in their place. Flocks meant food. Flocks meant money. Here comes this crazy preacher, used to be a prince, now he's a preacher. And he's telling them what you got to do is take something of value. Did you hear that word? How to take something of value and destroy it. And then of all things, take blood. I can't help but think of that customer that they blood. Ew. Take the blood and put it all around the doorpost. It made no sense. God required something of them. See, an act of faith is God requiring something of you. Amen? But what happened because they obeyed, that lamb died in place of their firstborn child. See, I don't know about y'all, but y'all, you should be feeling this. Instead of your child being given over as a sacrifice to the world, Jesus was that sacrifice. You don't have to give up your family to the devil because Jesus already gave the blood. All you got to do is cover your household with it. You don't have to give up your sanity. You don't have to give up your peace. You don't have to give up all them things. All we need to do is apply the blood that's already been shed. His enemies say amen. Hallelujah. We sit back. We sit back and we let the devil steal our family, steal our joy, steal our homes, our cars, our jobs, and we do nothing about it. The blood has already been shed. The lamb has already been slain. His name is Jesus. All we got to do is take that precious blood and put it upon our households. You say, well, that's just words. You think so? I double dog dare you to go home and start pleading the blood over your family. Hallelujah. Start pleading the blood over your retirement. Start pleading the blood over your car. Start pleading the blood over your house. Hallelujah. When that old bloodless gospel doesn't work, start pleading the blood. See what happens. See if your children don't start coming back. See if your family, your marriage don't start getting stronger. Hallelujah. That lamb died so someone else didn't have to. That lamb died instead of somebody's baby. Maybe it was yours. The sacrifice became a symbol that the Israelites understood. We need to understand it today. You ask the Jews today, even today, those who don't follow Judaism too close, they understand the Passover. Hallelujah. We need to understand the principle that an innocent life had to be taken to spare a non-innocent life. In order for them not to die, in order for the death angel to pass over, there had to be the shedding of blood. Tell your neighbor, someone had to give their blood. Jesus shed his blood and died so that all who believe in him might be saved from spiritual death and eternal separation from God in a place called hell. There's another word we don't want to preach about. Another sermon for another day. For 400 years, some of us in here are getting older, but not that old. There are times when I get out of bed in the morning, I feel pretty close to this. But these people, this is generation after generation, fathers, sons, grandfathers, great-grandfathers, for 400 years, the people of Israel had lived in a foreign land. And I think one thing they became familiar with was the gods of Egypt. Now, why do I say that? For 400 years, they watched the Egyptians pray to them false things. And in 400 years, not one of them statues spoke. Not one of them lifted their hand to help them. Not one of them did anything. I'm going to tell you right now, if you've got to pick up your God once a week and dust them off, you got the wrong God. That's what they've seen. They've seen 400 years of gods that couldn't do anything. Then all of a sudden, here comes God, and there's frogs and fleas. Oh, come on, people. Hallelujah. Am I the only one getting excited about this today? Through these plagues. But gee, Pastor, why'd God do all that bad stuff? Through these plagues, they realized that the God that Moses was talking about was not the same one that Pharaoh was worshiping. Are you out there? If you're praying to the same God, God help me here, and nothing has happened generation after generation, your children are messed up, your grandchildren's messed up, and your great-grandbabies might get messed up, it's time to pray to a different God. Pray to the God that can cause the water to turn to blood. Pray to God that can call the frogs forth. Pray to God that can hold back the daylight. Hallelujah. Jehovah could do something. And the Jews seen the difference. Perhaps what we need today is a revival of the power of God. Perhaps people around us aren't getting saved because they don't see the power. Just like any old dead God. My God's not dead. I'm sorry about yours. Mine's very much alive. He's still healing cancers. He's still raising the dead. He's still fixing families. He's still fixing marriages and bringing children back. Children, you pray for your parents. He'll fix them too. Hallelujah. All the teenagers want to say amen, don't dare. It does appear that at this point, God finally got through to Pharaoh. Now, ladies, let me help you out a little bit here. I have talked to lots of ladies, married ones especially, and even those who were dating. And they look at their men and say, you don't understand, Pastor. He's the hardest-headed person in the world. Yeah, I get it. I'm one of them, too. Man, that is. But say, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. But here's the point. If you can't get through to him, your preacher can't get through to him, God can get through to that hard-headed and hard-hearted husband of yours. Amen. And all you men can say amen too. Just don't do it out loud because you got to go home with your wives. Hallelujah. People, I talk to people all the time. It's part of my job. My children this, my children that. God can get through to your child. Children, God can get through to your parents. I got children who are more godly than their parents. Children, you pray, God will get a hold of them.
If Pharaoh can bow down, your mom and dad can too. Oh, hallelujah. A couple of teenagers back there going, oh, look at bobbleheads, yeah. Hallelujah. That hurried nighttime departure of the Jews was not just their attempt to get away before Pharaoh changed his mind again. Pharaoh wanted them gone. You see, Pharaoh said, yeah, you can go. No, you can't. Yeah, you can go. No, you can't. Yes, you can go. No, you can't. This time he says, y'all get the heck out of here. I don't want to see you, because if you stick around, there won't be an Egyptian left. We'll all be dead. So that's not exactly how it goes, but read what we just read in Exodus. It's there. It's there. Hallelujah. They wanted the Jews out of there. They were afraid of that if they didn't free them, they were all going to die. Hallelujah. Now, on that night, this is something, I'll probably get into a preach again here. On that horrible and wonderful night, the Lord kept vigil to free his people from slavery. I got to say something here. This excites me more than what I was preaching about the blood. Because what I read here is this wonderful fact that we serve a God who keeps vigil over us. Listen, God is watching. Whatever is going on in your life, God is keeping vigil. He's standing there looking on. So if someone's mistreating you, God knows about it. We spend so much time in prayer. Oh, God, I'm having such a hard time. That old boss. God knows all about that boss. He's watching over you. He's watching over your paycheck. He's watching over your children. He's watching over your health. God is keeping vigil. Hallelujah. Don't raise no hands, parents. I know this from experience as well as from education. That every parent wants to see everything and be in control of all that their children do. But I got to tell you something. It ain't going to happen. Hallelujah. My babies are older than some of y'all are now. And I'm still finding things out that they did that I had no clue what they were doing. But here's the good news, parents and kids. If your mom and daddy don't see you, God does. Hallelujah. I'm not saying he's running around, I'm going to get you and swat you up alongside the head. No, he's out there looking out for you so you don't take the wrong step. We call it conscience. I'm not sure we have a conscience left, Brother Perry. I think we've come so far in this thing there's no conscience left. But we have a Holy Ghost that when we get ready to take a step, he goes, Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Anybody here, some of you older, some of you more mature folks? Remember that first time you went to light up a cigarette? There was just something that you didn't even realize was the Holy Ghost. It probably sounded like your dad or your mama, but it was in your head saying, Or you went to go out with that boy or that girl, and you know your parents didn't agree to that. And there was just something going, See, the Holy Ghost will do that, brother. When you get ready to sign your income tax reforms, come on, people. And you know you didn't tell the whole truth. And you're going to sign it, and the Holy Ghost goes, God is keeping vigil. And not only watching you, watching your enemies. Hallelujah. Your enemy might sneak up on you, but if you're listening to the Holy Ghost, he's going to tell you, you better turn here. You better turn around and pray. You better bind that thing. Don't do that. You're going to get in trouble. Hallelujah. I'm excited that God is watching out for me. Am I preaching to the right people? I don't know. Let me try again. Hallelujah. God frees us from our slavery to sin through his son, Jesus. And then continues by protecting us from those who would draw us away from him. Hello, church. I know this is not popular preaching. I gave up on being popular a long time ago. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter if you like me or not. You got to love me. You got till next week to forgive me for this. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, we all think we know enough to pick our own friends and who we're supposed to hang with. Take a moment. Young people, old people, immature. I was going to say immature. That was probably right. Jeez, it might have been the Holy Ghost right there. In between. Ask God who you should hang with. Ask God who you're supposed to, whose house you're supposed to go to. Ask what you're supposed to do while you're at that house.
Well, Mom won't know. I'm downtown.
God knows. And God's got a way of telling secrets. Oh, yeah. Say that loud and say that proud, sisters. Parents will find out. What a wonderful God we serve. Amen? Whew. Got an illustration. Some of you may have heard of a preacher and author by the name of Peter Marshall. Peter Marshall one time stood before Congress and he prayed the following prayer. He said, Lord Jesus, thou art the way, the truth, and the life. Hear us as we pray for the truth that will make us all free. Teach us that freedom is not only to be loved, but also to be lived. Freedom is too precious a thing to be buried in books. It costs too much to be hoarded. Help us to see that our freedom is not the right to do as we please, but the opportunity to please to do what is right. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Marshall. We think freedom means I can just do what I want to do. I'm trained to teach you how to go to heaven, but I can tell you how to go to hell. Just do what's right in your own eyes. Never ask God nothing. Just do what you think is right. I'll guarantee you. Hallelujah. You just keep living like that and you start smelling brimstone, you better make a turn. Because all you got to do to go to hell is follow your own heart. Our hearts are desperately wicked, the scriptures say. Who can know it? Only God. Amen? God will lead us. God will guide us. All of us, turn to your neighbor and look at him. Don't say anything, just look at him. Just give him that intimidating look. We're all slaves until God sets us free. If I had a big mirror up here, I didn't have time to bring one into the church. I would have stood up here and asked you to look in the mirror. All of us, say all. Can someone give me the Greek word for all? Can you tell me what that translates as? Every, pos, all. Hallelujah. It's one of those words in Greek that's not a trick word. It means all the time. It's an all-inclusive word. It's all it means. Amen, brother. Hallelujah. All of us are slaves until God sets us free. Glory to God. But because of Jesus, turn to your neighbor and say, oh, because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, we have a new life and we can grow closer to him every day. Oh, glory to God. Glory unto God. Now, here's something important. For all those who think that we waste our time studying the Old Testament, that is just another story. What we just went through today is not just another story. It's your story and mine. All of us need to realize without Jesus, we'd still be a slave. Without Jesus, we'd still be living in darkness. But now, Jesus' blood protects us from death and assures our eternal life. I capitalize this here. Now, I wasn't trying to put like U.S., like United States. I want it to be us. We need to take that very personal today. The blood of Calvary that everybody's trying to clean up is there not just for them, it's for us. Every day, all day. It's time we quit trying to wipe the blood off the cross, trying to clean up Calvary, trying to make our gospel bloodless. Oh, we might offend somebody. No, you just might get someone saved, sanctified, and set free. Hallelujah. It amazes me that blood has been relegated to the realms of television and movies. You can't turn on a science fiction flick without there being buckets of blood all over the place. You can't turn on a cop show without blood. I don't know if people bleed as much as they show on television or not. I seen a thing the other day, boom, and the guy fell down. There was a blood the size of a Volkswagen there. Man, the guy bled out quick. But you notice, the blood is only there in bad terms, never in good. The Bible said life is in the blood. Without the blood, there's no remission of sins. It took blood sacrifice from Genesis all the way through to Malachi, and it'll take the blood sacrifice of Jesus all the way to the end of all of time. We need to take back the things the devil stole. The blood don't belong just on the television set. It belongs on the cross. It doesn't belong in the movie houses. It belongs on Calvary. Do you know and do you realize that when the sacrificial lamb was brought forth in the Old Testament, the priest took a sharp knife and slit its throat? But they stood there, and the priest's helpers caught that blood in a big basin. Blood shouldn't be wasted. But you know what the priest did then, Brother Dave? He took a hyssop. He dipped it in the bowl of blood and began to sprinkle it over the people. And with the sprinkling of the blood of the sacrificial lamb, the people's sins were forgiven. Glory unto God. I know another lamb who climbed a mountain bearing a cross on his back. He had been whipped. He'd been tortured. He was bleeding all through his body. Hung him to a cross where he bled out. Matter of fact, when they stabbed him with the spear, blood mixed with water come flowing out. He didn't hold back the blood, Sister Brenda. He didn't keep it back. Oh, the kids are watching. I better not bleed right now. But because of the blood, you and I are free. Because of the blood, you can be healed. You can be delivered. We need to bring the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And let me take it to the next verse. What can make me whole again? Nothing. See, it's not only salvation. It's everything else we need is in the blood. Hallelujah. You need a miracle today? Let's get some blood on it. You got a problem you can't fix? Let's plead the blood. Let's all stand to our feet. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to respond in faith today. Hallelujah. I'm sure there's some people, oh, that's just old-time Pentecost. Take me back to old-time Pentecost when there were real miracles, real conversions, real power. Hallelujah. When I come looking for Jesus 32, 33 years ago, I didn't know I was looking for Jesus. I was looking for power. You see, I had a wife once who got very, very sick and died. But while she was dying, I went back to the church of my childhood. And I said, can't we pray? I'm reading here, Jesus raised the sick and cleansed the leper, or healed the sick. And you know what they told me? God love them. It took me years to release this. That well-educated, ordained man explained to me that God doesn't do that anymore. You know what I did? I turned away from that church and never went back. I'm not blaming him. I was looking for power. And when I found born again, spirit-filled, blood-washed, God-empowered people, said, that's what I want. That was 32 years and some odd months ago, and I haven't turned my back since. I've been tempted. I've thought about it. I've questioned God many a times. I've shaken my fist in the face of God. Thank God he did not shake his fist back. When I look at all the power that God released on the Egyptians, I'm really glad God's not mad at me. The world around us, by the way, when I found out that God had power, I joined up. Not just a little bit. I jumped into this thing both feet, submerged myself in the power of the Holy Ghost, and been walking in it in 32 years. Hallelujah. I've had people try to talk me out of it. I had people threaten me. I had people try to buy me off. Ain't happening. My God still has all the power needed to fix all the problems of this world. So what I want you to do right now, I want you to take a step in faith here and say, okay, I can believe that. So here's what I'm going to do, God. I'm going to lift up my situation to you. I'm going to lift up my job situation. I'm going to lift up my school situation. I'm going to lift up my family situation, my health situation. Hallelujah. My mental health situation, whatever it may be. And we're going to plead the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Glory. And this is not quite old-time Pentecost, because I'd still be shouting if it was old-time Pentecost. But I'm going to preach this way. I got to get in better shape so I don't tire out. Don't laugh, Dave. Come on. Glory. Put it in your mind now. What is it? What's that impossible thing? What is that impossible thing? We all got at least one. You can have a number of them. It's okay. There are some things sitting in this room. You are born again. You are blood bought. You're loving the Lord. You're going to heaven. You ain't going to go to hell, but because of your situations, you will feel like you might be there already. Hallelujah. We're going to ask God, through His blood of His Son, to set you free today. Hallelujah. You still want God to heal you? Put your hand on your own heart. I ain't going to come over there. Seriously, grab a hold of your heart. Young boy's got a heart condition. How many believe that the blood of the Lamb can heal him today? I'm going to tell you a funny story. I'm not trying to embarrass. He doesn't want to come up here because we prayed for people a couple weeks ago and some folks fell out. He don't want to fall over. That's okay. That's okay. God can heal that heart here today. Anybody else got something? Whatever it is, hold it before the Lord. Hold it before the Lord. An impossible situation. Hallelujah. We're going to put God to the test. Is that all right? Glory to God. I am infatuated in what God can do, but I'm intrigued at what He's going to do. Hallelujah. Now here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you. You don't have to do it out loud if you're afraid. You can do it under your breath, but I want you to voice those words. I'm going to plead the blood. I'm pleading the blood over that heart. I'm pleading the blood over that family. I'm pleading the blood over those finances. I want you to be able to formulate those words. If you're afraid to say it out loud, then whisper it to yourself. God will hear it. Father, in Jesus' name, we're lifting up every impossible situation to You. And Father God, just as it was in the book of Exodus, when things were going wrong and judgment was falling, You made a way of escape. You said if we had the blood and we had seen the blood, You'd pass over. So Father, we're going to speak to all of the judgment, all of the bad things, all the horrific things. We're going to speak to that heart back there and that young man. We are right now going to plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you all to begin to, in your own self, to pray and pray that over this situation. Lord, I plead the blood. You don't have to say it out loud, but I appreciate if you'd help me. Lord, we plead the blood. Lord, we plead the blood over that household. Lord, I plead the blood over that heart. Lord, I plead the blood over those finances. Lord, I plead the blood over that specific amount of money this young woman needs. I plead the blood over the situations in your life. I plead the blood over these children going back to school. Every one of them, we didn't get a chance to call them up here. We're going to plead the blood over every child that's going back to school tomorrow morning. We're going to plead the blood over your finances, brother. Hallelujah. We need God to do something here. We're going to plead the blood. Can y'all begin to plead the blood? Come on. Do it in a whisper if you're afraid to speak out loud. Hallelujah. Father, we praise You today. Thank You, Jesus, for Your sacrifice. Thank You for my freedom. Thank You for my life. This building. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We plead the blood over our children. Children pleading the blood over their parents. Pleading the blood over swine flu. Pleading the blood over joblessness. Pleading the blood over unemployment. Pleading the blood over socialism. Pleading the blood over where our country's headed. Pleading the blood over everything, Father God, that's out of our control. We need the blood. Hallelujah. 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 Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to press you one more time. I'm going to count to three. I'm going to ask us all together so no one can hear you. You only hear yourself. When I get to three, I just want you to say, I plead the blood. Can you respond today? On the count of three, one, you know what you're pleading it over, right? Two, you know which blood we're talking about? Three, I plead the blood. Father, in Jesus' name, we expect mighty things from a mighty God. Lord, everything that would have been blood soaked and blood bought and blood protected, Father, we believe in the hours and days and weeks to come, we will see the miraculous. We will see children come back to the nest. We will see marriages strengthened. We will see jobs saved and created and given new jobs. We will see that heart declared healed in Jesus' name. We will see, we will hear, we will experience and repeat aloud the miracles take place this day in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you play that and get me started? Because I can't even begin to sing. What can wash away my sins?
Can wash away my sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.